With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. As part of Marshfield Medical Center Park Falls' recent expansion, there's now a pharmacy available to patients. But instead of a traditional pharmacy, it's a remote dispensing site. WXPR's Katie Thorson spoke with the pharmacy manager about how it works.
When Marshfield Medical Center Park Falls wrapped up phase one of its $35 million renovation project last summer, a new pharmacy was part of the upgrades. Sarah Boblick is the pharmacy manager.
We did not have any pharmacy services for outpatients, so those prescriptions would be directed to other local pharmacies, either in Park Falls or Phillips, or wherever the patient, you know, wanted to go. So, no, this is kind of a new venue for the Marshfield Medical Center here in Park Falls.
Now outpatients can pick up their prescriptions before leaving the hospital. It may be a bit of a different experience than patients are used to.
When patients come in, you'll be greeted by the technician, but you won't actually see a physical pharmacist on site.
The hospital is a remote dispensing pharmacy site. This means the technician will fill the prescription orders on site, and when it comes time to hand it over, the patient will talk with a pharmacist at another Marshfield location through a computer. Public says the decision to go this route was partial cost saving, not having to hire a pharmacist for the site, and partly because they were unsure how many people would use the service.
It's gone pretty smoothly. We had a couple patients the first day, and we've kind of grown our volume since. And this morning when our pharmacy technician came in, she had like 10 prescriptions to do, so we were happy to see that.
The pharmacy technician on site has more training than a typical pharmacist. There's also checks in place to make sure everything is processed correctly.
She actually has a camera on her counter where she'll take a picture of everything. The pharmacist that's verifying could be from Marshfield, for example, will see all that in the computer system and will be able to check that prescription remotely. Once that pharmacist gives the okay, the pharmacy technician can hand it to the patient, check them out, and then just before leaving, that patient can do a touch base with the pharmacist remotely.
The pharmacy is open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. Katie Thorson, WXPR News.
A crash during a police chase in Oneida County killed the suspect and sent six people in another vehicle to the hospital. The Wisconsin Department of Justice Division of Criminal Investigation will handle the investigation into the incident in the town of Newbold Friday evening. At 9:15 p.m., an Oneida County Sheriff's deputy tried to make a traffic stop on Highway 47 at Northwestern Avenue. The driver did not stop, leading to a pursuit which ended when the driver crossed into the opposite lane of traffic, crashing their vehicle and striking another vehicle. That happened near the intersection of Highway 47 and Bridge Road in the town of Newbold. The vehicle that was hit had six people in it, and all of them were taken to local hospitals. Life-saving measures were attempted on the suspect, but they were pronounced dead at the scene. The officer will go on administrative leave while the investigation is in progress, which is normal in such cases. A squad car camera was operating during the incident. Two people are dead and two more are injured after a Saturday morning crash in Langlade County. It happened at the intersection of Highway 45 and Highway B in the town of Elko. The Langlade County Sheriff's Office got a report of the crash at 5:55 Saturday morning. Deputies investigating the crash found a vehicle traveling northbound on Highway 45 crossed the center line and struck a southbound vehicle. The operators of both vehicles were pronounced dead at the scene. Two passengers in the southbound vehicle were transported to a Spiros Langlade hospital. The Wisconsin State Patrol Crash Reconstruction Unit has been asked to help with the investigation. Michigan's tipped wage system is on the brink of extinction, with changes set to take effect next month. That's after a state Supreme Court ruling last year mandated higher wages for tip-reliant workers. But as Crystal Blair tells us, it's not going away without a fight.
The ruling will eliminate tipped wages below minimum wage and raise the state's minimum wage to more than $12 per hour. Justin Winslow is president and CEO of the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association. He says this almost 250% increase in the wages of tipped workers would be catastrophic. And he says it's happening at the worst possible time as inflation hits his industry, more than others.
You add that difficult environment to this new policy, and you have a recipe for the loss of 60,000 restaurant jobs in Michigan and the closure of 1 in 5 full-service sit-down restaurants in Michigan. And so when I say catastrophic, I think that's what we mean.
Supporters of the change argue it ensures fair pay and reduces income instability for tipped employees who they say can face unpredictable earnings. Tipped wages are set to be phased out on February 21st. Winslow says servers are currently earning around $30 an hour, with some making even more, all while enjoying flexible schedules. He emphasized that roughly 80% of these workers want to preserve the current system. On a positive note, Winslow says bipartisan efforts are in motion, with similar bills from both parties set to be discussed in a hearing today to protect tipped wages.
The new House leadership seems to be making it a real priority to try to get something done in advance of February 21st. So we'll be front and center there, making sure they understand and hear from the voices of impacted restaurant workers and restaurant owners.
The Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association warns that as many as 50,000 jobs could be in jeopardy if businesses are required to eliminate tipped wages. For the Michigan News Connection, I'm Crystal Blair.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has rejected an attempt by a conservative activist to obtain guardianship records in an effort to find ineligible voters. The court did not rule on the merits of the case, instead saying in its 5-2 decision that a lower appeals court was wrong in saying the records should be released because that was in direct conflict with another appeals court ruling saying the records should not be released. Ron Huer and a group he leads, the Wisconsin Voter Alliance, sought the records, but the Supreme Court dismissed the case on a technicality and did not rule on the merits. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.